Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, Jill Robbins and I have a story about a new theory climate scientists have about the deadly storms that have affected Europe. Brian Lynn reports on NASA's latest effort to find out exactly how much water there is on the moon. Finally, Jill and Andrew Smith bring you the lesson of the day, teaching about English pronunciation and idioms. But first, here's Jill.
Even for a period of extreme weather, this autumn has had more than the usual weather disasters. The Spanish province Valencia has seen the latest incident of massive and deadly flooding in Europe. Heavy downpours also hit France, Austria, and Czechia this fall. Italy has had two major floods, once in September and then again in October. More than 200 people have been killed in the flooding in Spain. At the same time, over half of the United States experiences an almost rain-free October. Scientists studying the recent weather say the heavy rains are probably connected to climate change in two ways. They say a warmer atmosphere holds and then releases more moisture. The other connection is possible changes in the jet stream that could cause extreme weather. The jet stream is the river of air above land that moves weather systems around the planet. Several climate scientists and meteorologists said the immediate cause of the flooding is a cut-off lower pressure storm system that came from an unusually wavy and slowed jet stream.
In the United States, the slow movement caused a sunny, high-pressure system with no moisture to cover the country and keep storms away. If we're getting all the dryness, somebody else is getting all the rain, said Yale Climate Connection meteorologist Jeff Masters, co-founder of Weather Underground. The same extremely wavy jet stream that is causing the U.S. drought is also responsible for the horrific flooding in eastern Spain, said climate scientist Jennifer Francis. She is with the Woodwell Climate Research Center in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Francis is an early developer of the theory that connects a wavier and slower-moving jet stream to climate change. The theory is that the Arctic is warming so much. It is now not much colder than the rest of the planet. That theory is gaining more acceptance, but it is not fully accepted by the climate science community. Climate scientist Eric Fischer is with the University ETH Zurich in Switzerland. He does not fully accept the wavy jet stream theory, but then he lists the storm systems that have slowed and flooded Europe this fall, one in France and two in Italy in September and October, and flooding in Austria and the Czech Republic in September. And then there were the October floods in the Balkans. Although Fischer said he is not sure they are similar enough. The European Climate Service Copernicus says parts of Poland, Germany, and the Czech Republic got 3 months of rain in just 5 days in September.
Fischer also spoke of the floods in Europe during the summer, starting with Bavaria, southern Germany in June, and then it was something like 6 events in Austria and Switzerland in the mountains, extreme thunderstorms, and now this autumn. He said it was an unusual period in which the systems, especially in Spain, France, and Austria, stopped in one place, and the rain did not move from the same valleys for hours. Even without the changes to the jet stream, several scientists said they are sure that basic physics are making storms like this wetter. It holds that every degree Celsius the air warms, it can hold 7% more moisture. The world has warmed 1.3 degrees Celsius because of greenhouse gases. So it has about 9 to 10% heavier rain at the least, said Imperial College London climate scientist Friederike Otto. She helps run an organization called World Weather Attribution. It checks for human causes of extreme weather, sometimes finding them, sometimes not. She said it is very clear that climate change is linked to the rain event in Valencia.
The Mediterranean Sea had its warmest surface temperature on record in mid-August, with a mean temperature of 28.47 degrees Celsius, said Carola Koenig of the Center for Flood Risk and Resilience at Brunel University of London. She said that means more moisture is in the air, resulting in more rain when the atmosphere starts to cool in the autumn. She warned there may be more heavy rain after this week's storm. There may be different ways of counting and attributing climate change and the problems it causes, Otto said. But one thing is for certain. Burning fossil fuels causes climate change, and climate change causes death and destruction. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
The American Space Agency, NASA, is preparing to launch a spacecraft to seek more detailed information on water sources on the Moon. The spacecraft is an orbiter called Lunar Trailblazer. It is set to launch later this year or in early 2025. A SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket will carry the orbiter to space. That rocket will also transport another moon-exploring spacecraft. In a recent statement, NASA said Lunar Trailblazer passed a series of important operational tests. It is currently completing additional software testing designed to simulate different elements of the trip or mission. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL, is leading the mission in cooperation with the California Institute of Technology, Caltech, in Pasadena, California. Lockheed Martin Space provided the spacecraft, linked it with the flight system, and supports operations as part of a contract with Caltech. The spacecraft will use 2 science instruments to carry out its mission. Both instruments are designed to map the Moon in search of areas containing water, as well as what forms the water is in. The two instruments use infrared technology to produce highly detailed mapped images. Lunar Trailblazer weighs about 200 kilograms and measures 3.5 meters, with its solar equipment fully deployed. The spacecraft is set to orbit the moon about 100 kilometers from the lunar surface. Several past studies have provided strong evidence that water exists on the moon. But the evidence has not included exact details on where it is and what forms it might take. Scientists believe most of the water is solid in the form of ice, but there could be areas where water exists in liquid form or as a gas in the atmosphere. One study released last month suggested that existing water on the moon is more widespread than previously thought. That study was based on new examinations of data collected by India's Chandrayaan-1 orbiting spacecraft. NASA has said its search for water on the moon is important because it is seen as a necessary resource for future exploration activities. Astronauts could process it for drinking water, to cool equipment, to create breathable oxygen, or even to make rocket fuel. NASA said Lunar Trailblazer will make it easier for future human or robotic science investigators to use the water to see where it first came from. For example, the presence of ammonia in ice could suggest it came from comets, NASA said. The presence of sulfur, on the other hand, could show it rose to the surface from deep inside the lunar interior when the moon was young and volcanically active. One of the instruments, the high-resolution Volatiles and Minerals Moon Mapper, was developed by the JPL. The other, called the Lunar Thermal Mapper, was built by a team at the University of Oxford in Britain. Neil Bowles is an instrument scientist for the Lunar Thermal Mapper. He said in a statement, the instrument would center on producing detailed maps of lunar surface temperatures. He added that the other instrument will look for a series of signs called signatures of water molecules. Both instruments will allow us to understand how surface temperature affects water, improving our knowledge of the presence and distribution of these molecules on the moon, Bowles said. The orbiter is designed to provide scientists with new information about how much movement there is of water molecules on the moon. Such movements can be linked to how much sun specific areas receive. Understanding whether water molecules move freely across the surface of the moon or are locked inside rock is also scientifically important, NASA said in a statement. Rachel Klima is an investigator for the Lunar Trailblazer spacecraft and its systems at the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory in Laurel, Maryland. She said data collected by the instruments can help provide information about where the moon's water first came from. Klima compared such examinations to those involving glaciers that help scientists learn about Earth's ancient history. Ice on the moon, she said, could provide clues as to where that water came from and how and when it got there. I'm Brian Lynn.
You are listening to the VOA Learning English podcast. Now, Brian Lynn joins me to talk more about his science report. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Of course, Mario. Glad to be here.
This week, you reported on the upcoming NASA mission that will launch an orbiter to collect detailed data on water resources on the moon. Why is there so much interest now in finding out exactly how much water there is on the moon and where it can be found?
Yes, so NASA has been interested in learning more about water resources on the moon for a very long time. The agency has long wanted to return humans to the moon, and water could help astronauts stay there for longer. NASA even plans to establish a long-term base there in the future. Now, the first confirmation that water existed on the moon in the form of ice came in 2009. This was from data collected by a NASA satellite launched with an orbiter to the moon.
We learned from the report that one possible use for water on the moon would be to support astronauts there, such as providing oxygen for them to breathe. How would that work?
Yes, this is one thing NASA has talked about before. The moon's atmosphere does not contain breathable air, so any humans staying on the lunar surface would need oxygen to survive. One of the plans for this is to extract or take out oxygen that is believed to exist there in other materials, and water would be one of those materials. This would involve a process to separate water's two main parts, hydrogen and oxygen, and capturing this oxygen for breathable air.
And NASA has also talked about using water in other ways to support future exploration activities. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. In the report, I mentioned several things. Of course, drinking water could be produced on the moon. NASA has said it could also be used to cool certain kinds of equipment used by astronauts there, and even to create rocket fuel. And to develop fuel from water, the process would be similar to producing breathable air, first separating the hydrogen and oxygen, and then liquefying those elements and combining them to create rocket propellant.
Okay. Thanks again for being here, Brian. We look forward to your next science report.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mario.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Is Anna Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our video series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
As the series progresses, the English you hear gradually becomes more advanced. You will hear Anna and the other people in the video begin to speak a little faster, use more variety of verb tenses, and use more idiomatic expressions.
So today, we're going to look at the language in Lesson 47 of the series. You will hear the way English speakers pronounce some words when they speak more quickly. and we will explain some idiomatic expressions as well.
Lesson 47 is called How Can I Help? Anna sees that her friend Pete needs help fixing his car.
Hi, Pete. What are you doing?
Oh, hi, Anna. Right now, I am fixing my car.
How's it going?
It's going not so good.
How can I help? I was planning to visit some friends, but if you need help, I can help. I like helping.
Anna, I can fix it myself. But thanks.
If you listen to Anna carefully, you can hear some examples of her pronouncing words quickly. And as we have explained in other lessons of the day, when people speak faster, words connect together quickly, and some vowel sounds get changed or reduced. Listen to this sentence again.
How can I help? I was planning to visit some friends, but if you need help, I can help. I like helping.
The two small words, can I, sound like one word with two syllables, can I. And instead of saying to visit, the vowel in the word to gets changed to a schwa, which sounds like a. So the word sounds like this, to visit.
And with the two words, but if, we don't really pronounce the letter T in the word but. Instead, it sounds almost like the letter D and connects to the word if, like this. But if. But if. But if. Now listen to Anna again and see if you can hear these examples we just explained.
How can I help? I was planning to visit some friends, but if you need help, I can help. I like helping.
Now let's listen to more of Lesson 47. See if you can hear when Anna uses a contraction of the modal will. For example, instead of saying I will, she says I'll.
Pete, I think I found your problem. These are spark plugs. They start the engine.
I know that, Anna, but there were too many spark plugs in there, so I took out the extra ones.
There are no extras, Pete. You need all of them. Pete, can you fix a car yourself?
Well, Anna, last night I was watching the online video course, You Can Fix a Car Yourself.
Yes, you can fix your car yourself.
And I watched the first 10 lessons, so I think I know what I'm doing.
How many lessons are there?
450.
450? That'll take too long. If I fix your car, I'll have it running in 10 to 15 minutes. Where are your tools?
I have this. And this.
Great. I'll get my tools. I'll be back. In a flash.
Back in a flash is an idiomatic expression. It means that a person will return very quickly. And let's listen again to the contractions Anna uses with the modal will.
450? That'll take too long. If I fix your car, I'll have it running in 10 to 15 minutes. Where are your tools?
Instead of saying that will, English speakers usually just connect these words together quickly with a contraction like this.
That'll take too long.
As we explained in another lesson of the day, we can contract or connect the modal will with any subject pronoun like I, we, they, or it. So instead of saying it will, we just say it'll, just like we contract that will to that'll.
And that reminds me of an American popular song from the 1950s. It uses the contraction that'll in its title and lyrics.
Does it go like this?
Well, that'll be the day
When you say goodbye, yes, that'll be the day. When you make me cry, you say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die.
Yes, it does go like that. And the name of the song is That'll Be the Day. Good job, Andrew.
Thank you. Remember, that'll just means that will.
Now, we'll listen to the end of Lesson 47 of Let's Learn English and see if we can find out what the problem is with Pete's car.
It's not starting! It's not starting!
What's wrong?
This car is stupid! Stupid! Stupid!
Pete, kicking the tires will not help.
Well, you did not help, Anna. You did not help!
Pete, pull yourself together, man! Give me the keys. I must feel the key in the ignition and turn it myself.
Use the key, Anna. Turn the key, Anna. What are you forgetting, Anna?
Pete!
What?
You are out of gas.
I can't be out of gas. I'm out of gas. Sorry, Anna. I'll go get some.
Pete, you relax. Clean your face. You can watch the rest of your online video course. It'll be faster if I go. In a flash. Till next time!
If you watch carefully here, you will see the master is someone you might know.
Anna says goodbye and leaves in a flash. And did you hear the contraction with the word it?
It'll be faster if I go.
And before we go, here's one more idiomatic expression from Lesson 47. Listen again to Anna.
Pete, pull yourself together, man. Give me the keys.
When we say pull yourself together, we mean that a person needs to have better control of his or her emotions.
Listeners, it'll also be helpful if you notice one more detail about pronunciation. When we contract the two words I will, it can sound like I'll. But when we speak really fast, it can change to something more like this, I'll. The pronunciation practice video in Lesson 47 explains this. Let's listen.
When Americans reduce the words I and will to make I'll, the short form sometimes sounds like all. Listen to Anna and Pete.
450? That'll take too long. If I fix your car, I'll have it running in 10 to 15 minutes. I'll get my tools. I'll be back in a flash.
I'm out of gas. Sorry, Anna. I'll go get some.
And that's also true of some dialects of American English. We'll be visiting Anna again soon in another lesson of the day. And it'll be great if you can join us.
And it'll be great if you can share the lesson of the day with your friends and family. Remember that you can also find us on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks for listening. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
Show for today, but join us again tomorrow to keep learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr.